Paul White is in Washington. He was the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly. Paul's been with us on the show for 16, 18 years. I can't even keep count anymore. And we've gone through these baseball seasons together. Paul, this is an unusual beginning. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's obviously withdrawal from that standpoint, you know, and it's strange because, obviously, as you said, a lot of serious things going on. You know, fortunately, I'm sitting here and I've been relatively untouched by it in my own life, but at the same time, it goes on around you, and it's like, okay, go in and sit down in the family room and, well, what movie are we going to watch tonight?
I have trouble walking past the refrigerator.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've seen Fever Pitch tonight, and right now A League of Their Own is on, so I'm making do.
Yeah, I've got noir films coming on. I'm taping it tonight. Eddie Muller is my favorite, so I got that on TCM coming up. But I watched the Ginger Rogers movie today, and my problem is I can't walk past the refrigerator without opening it. That's the
yes.
That's the problem. But you know, and I said this before, and you tell me what life is like. You're close to Washington D.C. You're back there. Here in Arizona, you don't have that tense feeling because just 3 or 4 days ago we had 9,000, you know, watching the Giants and the Cubs. So we still have a little of that spring training honeymoon going on. But what's it like for life back there?
Well, it's strange in a sense. I mean, it's different, obviously. You know, schools are closed. You know, my son's home from college. He doesn't know if and when he's going back. He starts online courses Monday morning. The supermarket was especially crowded, I guess it was yesterday when I went. But other than that, it doesn't seem that much different. You know, you're conscious of what you're doing. You know, you see how people interact. You know, there's a different sense of just personal interaction if you're anywhere in public. But you know, we've had relatively small number of cases in a huge metropolitan area here, so you don't really get that sense. And I think that's one of the important factors, because you know, you need to be reminded, no, there's certain things we've got to do here, you know, the distancing and all the things we hear about, because you don't, it's not in your face every minute why you need to do these things. You've got to be reminded. You've got to see the news reports. You've got to understand, why these things are important. And I think that's, for probably a lot of people in a lot of parts of this country, it probably doesn't seem real yet. It doesn't seem like a real threat.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely agree with you. Paul White with us. Paul, challenges to baseball now. Let's switch gears a little bit because, you know, we do rely on it. It's been there through World War I. They shortened the season. It ended on Labor Day. They had the World Series starting the next day. They didn't know if they'd have a season in 1919. The armistice happened in November of 1918, so we could have the Black Sox scandal in 1919,
right.
Conveniently, so we had that. We've had the Depression. We've had December 7th, 1941, the green light letter from Roosevelt saying we want baseball. This one is a little bit different. And then we have the labor issues where owners and players were contentious. This is one where they're kind of okay, but I'm starting to sense there are some real significant issues between players and owners that can come up and bite them right now at a time when you probably need as much cooperation between the two as possible. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's going to start to happen as we get closer to figuring out when we may actually have baseball again. And, you know, an interesting point someone brought up in the last couple of days, you know, for a lot of players, you know, the decisions teams and players are making, do the guys stay in Arizona and Florida? Do they go home? You know, their real home? Do they go to the city where they play? How is this going to be handled? And, you know, it's even a different world for different kinds of players. You know, if you're making $15 million a year, you can probably pretty much pick your spot. Do what you feel like doing. If you're a guy who's, you know, either a minor leaguer or 40-man roster, but you haven't been in the majors yet. You're not making as much money, relatively speaking. Your decisions are a little bit more difficult, just from an economic standpoint. And somebody raised the point, you know, it's not like Mike Trout can invite 9 guys from the minor league side to come and live at his place right now. You know, that's probably not prudent at the moment. But yeah, there's going to be some issues as we get closer. What's the season going to look like? So how is money handled? How is service time handled? So many things like that. There's going to have to be compromises, and there's going to be differences. There's got to be. Everybody's trying to say the right thing. You know, you hear teams saying, we're going to take care of our hourly workers at the ballpark, all those things. Everybody's being good citizens at this point, but can it stay that way when there's certain economic realities, when teams start to feel the pinch financially because there's nobody coming to the ballpark and paying money?
Yeah, service time, so people understand. You get for every 45 days in the big leagues, I think that's a quarter of a year of service time. So let's say the season doesn't start until July 1st. Well, do you get a full year of service time because of this act of God that has prevented baseball from being played? Or do does Major League Baseball say, okay, you who now have 5 years in and would have been a free agent at the end of this year, right, now you have 5.5 years in, and you're not a free agent. And this comes at a time when the union and Major League Baseball was starting to butt heads anyway. So this is not going to be pretty. This is not going to be opinion.
People better realize
in baseball and players that this is not a time to mess around and not a time to argue about dollars and cents when lives are at stake.
Right. I think this goes from both sides because, they've got to find ways to compromise it. For instance, you know, Major League Baseball, I don't know for certain, but it seemed like it was very convenient and very calculated that they used national emergency in the wording when they suspended spring training and delayed the season, because there is wording to the same effect in the collective bargaining agreement where Major League Baseball can cut some economic corners on the players and can stop paying people because of a national emergency. And I think, you know, that those were more, and I'm sure people talking about, for instance, a war or something even more significant than this. So, it's difficult to gauge. You know, Major League Baseball may have just been legally protecting themselves on that point, but no more than we want to see the players say, hey, we want every last penny and every last minute of the service time. We don't want to see Major League Baseball trying to, you know, go hardline the other direction. You know, and you're right. It comes at a point when both sides were just starting to dance around a little bit and line up their little their points, because there are going to be points that are going to be contentious in the next collective bargaining agreement, and that's part of the deal. They dance around that a little bit leading up to it, and they've had good relations for a couple of decades now, but you know, you can see some of that starting, and this is a whole lot more pieces than they expected.
Yeah, not at the right time.
Right,
to fool
exactly
around with this. That's the thing, that you can't do this. The people, you can turn off everybody. All right, Paul White with us. You're on the East Coast, and I got calls this week about fantasy drafts. They're still happening. You know, this is the week that people, so someone called Max Scherzer. Is he okay? So you're the Grapefruit League expert. You're on the East Coast, so let me talk a little ball with you, because you did have 3 quarters of spring training. What's up with Max Scherzer? Strickland has been released. The Nationals are making all sorts of moves. Is this a time to do that? And why are they doing it? So go ahead, tackle that stuff.
That was very interesting, because there's been talk for the last couple of days that there was going to be a freeze on roster moves. But that hasn't been announced yet. It hasn't taken effect. Major League Baseball hasn't said, okay, there's going to be a freeze. I don't know if the Nationals said in their mind, yeah, this is what we're planning to do, so let's go ahead quickly and get it done before the freeze comes in. They're the only team that I've seen that has attempted or to make any kind of player or roster moves since things were suspended the other day. So that was kind of interesting. I wondered, why what the delay was. Obviously, baseball is taking. I know there's been meetings all weekend among the owners. There's been meetings between MLB and the Players Association trying to figure out how best to handle this. But they've got to get this pulled together quickly, or you are going to have pretty much anarchy. Where teams are going to be all over the place. One team might say, "Hey, yeah, we're going to make some moves here to save ourselves some money." And other teams are saying, "Well, we don't want to do it that way." We've got to have everybody working this under the same rules. And Major League Baseball has got to kind of get their act together. Again, I know those kinds of little things, those kinds of rules aren't nearly as important as all the stuff that's going on in the world, but it's still part of that business, and you've got to have it in place.
Yeah, it's coming. I could see that. That's got to happen. So the Nationals, Hunter Strickland has been released. So
right.
Out here, of course, we know who
David Hernandez,
is,
so too. Yeah.
He was a Giant, too, for a period of time. So I remember that. Paul, what about Scherzer? Is he okay? He was complaining about something this week.
Yeah, he's had some back issues and some kind of muscles in the side, and they were playing it off as if a little cranky stuff going on in spring training, and let's give him a little bit of time off. And to the best of everybody's knowledge, on the outside, that seems to be the case. Now all of a sudden, too, you get a guy in that situation where he has some sort of injury that pops up just as everything shuts down. Obviously, the normal channels aren't there to find out what's really going on. You can't even wander around spring training and use all your normal sources and say, "Hey, what do you hear? What do you hear?" It's hard to find people. So Max got a pass here. Nobody's going to be bugging Max here for a week. Like, how you feel today? Did you throw in the side? Are they letting you run? What are you doing? All accounts, it made it seem like this was, let's say, middle-aged pitcher in terms of career, having a few aches and pains as he goes through spring training. Now, obviously, give him some extra time to kind of get it straightened out, it probably works to his advantage. And, you're talking about people with their fantasy drafts. I mean, yeah, people are going ahead. In fact, I just finished one with a league I've been in for 20-some years, and, you have to change your tactics all of a sudden. Like, if you were scared of Justin Verlander a week ago, well, don't be so scared now. He might not need to pitch for 6 weeks.
Yeah, good point. Good point. No, you're right. Very good point. And who knows? Puig will be on some team in 6 weeks, I guess. Who knows what?
Yeah, well,
happen.
Yeah. Again, what are the rules?
Well, that's a good
can
point.
He go sign? They've got to get the rules in place.
Hey, one last thought for you. One last story. This week, players, each camp is being sanitized. I've used that word about 700 times tonight.
Right,
it's
right.
A key word in our community and our world right now, and baseball is doing it as well. Players have to decide, do they stick around? And the Yankees voted yes. I know the Giants, the word is they seem to want to stick around. And then a couple of teams have gone home already. What do you think about all that?
Well, I'm glad that the players are being given a choice. I mean, everybody's situation is different. Where is your family right now? Do you have kids? Are they back? Are they up north somewhere? Are they in an area where there are more serious concerns about the spread of the virus? What's the best situation for you and your family? And I certainly hope no players are sort of de facto penalized by making a decision that's the right thing for their family down the road. But if you look at just the player standpoint, it seems to me that in a relatively controlled environment in the spring training complex, if the teams are taking the right precautions, if the players are being advised how to handle things correctly, I think they're probably in a better situation where everything can be monitored. I mean, almost hour to hour. you know, constantly. What's everybody doing? What are, who are they? Who are they around? You know, what are they touching? They probably stand a better chance in that environment, very controlled, very monitored, than you and I going to the grocery store or trying to go out and get a bite to eat or whatever it is, because we haven't the slightest idea who we might be crossing paths with. And, you know, I think... Go ahead.
Yeah, they do leave the complex, and who knows where they go at that point. God forbid one guy gets it.
Exactly. Well,
you know,
and
they got to quarantine.
Yeah, and that's it. That's what we saw, you know, with the Rudy Gobert incident. Once that happened, then every sport realized, you know what? As soon as the first guy gets it, we're done. So let's just make the preemptive move. And that was it. Everybody was hoping against hope we could kind of get through this somewhere or another, closed stadiums, closed arenas, et cetera, et cetera. But then they realized as soon as that happened, that domino fell. I mean, somebody's connected the dots from the Rudy Gobert thing and said, if you went 5 days back and extrapolated out who he'd been around, who their team had been around, you could cover the entire NBA in a 5-day period because he was in this arena and then the team they played against went and played somebody else, et cetera, et cetera. And the referees went somewhere else, and somebody figured out you had the whole NBA in 5 days.
Yeah, no, that's my fear. And again, there aren't games. We don't have games, so they're not mixing with other teams.
Right.
But if you had one person from who knows where test positive on a team, that totally throws everything off kilter, and everyone would be sent home anyway. So I say send them home now. That's my feeling, and not have them around the whole crowd. Well, that's just my opinion. We'll see what happens.
You know,
what a week this is going to be. Who knows?
Oh, it's going to – I can't see how this doesn't take – I mean, everybody's talking about May to our best hope to play, and I think even that might be optimistic at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll keep in touch with you. I thank you so much. I know it's late for you to come on, but it's a pleasure having you on, and I like keeping in touch with you, and we'll definitely be calling you. Thanks, Paul.
All right, no problem, Marty.
All right, that is Paul White. Boy, he's terrific. As I said, he's been on with us going back to 2002, and I always appreciate his opinion.